The reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to the end. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. A prayer before I speak. Dear Father, open our hearts and minds to understand what you're saying to each one of us this morning. Amen. "Get behind me, Satan." Surely this is the sternest rebuke to anyone in the whole gospel, and to Peter of all people. After all, in last week's reading, we heard that when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" it was Simon Peter who answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus then answered him, saying, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Yet now Peter is being treated as the personification of evil. Why should this be? So if we delve deeper, "get behind me," is the same verb used elsewhere for follow. So this is not just a rebuke, it's also a call to follow. Follow in the path of Jesus rather than the path of the way of the world. To set his mind on divine things, not on human things. If we now want to follow Jesus and want to know what setting our mind on divine things means, we could not do much better than to read the epistle that we've been given today. Now, God knows that we're not perfect, and I, for one, fail in so many ways to do the right thing at the right time, indulging in human pleasures and distractions when I should be doing more profitable things for God. But a blueprint of guidance that we're given in Romans is a good reminder to point me in the right direction. It outlines what we should be doing, and the advice comes thick and fast. So fast that it's easy to read it quickly and for no more than an idea of what is being said to stick in our minds. So let's for a moment take each statement and think about it. Let love be genuine. We must be sincere in showing our love to one another. This doesn't mean gushing love or a false love to those we don't really like, but a real open love and understanding for all. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. We must be able to discern good and evil. Even if we're called to love, we must not ignore or condone evil acts. And we must hold fast to what we believe is good, even if it goes against the grain of what is believed by others in society in general. It's not always to stand up for what is right, especially in these days, when people are shouted down on social media if their views don't accord with that in the mainstream. Love one another with mutual affection. This is like family love. To love other Christians as if they were in your own family. Giving time to others, listening to them, to hear what they're really saying, not being judgmental and being concerned for their well-being. Outdo one another in showing honour. Whilst not putting yourself down, think of others better than yourself and show them respect. It can be easy to respect those who are powerful and have status in society, but not so easy when that person has no status. These are often important people in keeping society going, as we have seen with the key workers and how they have served us during lockdown. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit and serving the Lord. So be enthusiastic, an enthusiastic follower without being fanatical. After all, sometimes the fanatical people put people off the very thing they are promoting. There's no need to be a perfectionist, and certainly no need to criticise anyone who you don't think is up to your standard. But have a faith that shows as a glow for the Holy Spirit, or even a bubbling over of a spiritual zeal. Remembering this is not to be self-serving, but in order that we might serve God. Verse 12 is packed with three statements: rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Though we should be thankful for the hope that we have, that we're doing God's will, and in the hope in the second coming, meanwhile, there will be times when that hope is challenged by the troubles of this world. That can be especially true when we or those near us suffer, and as a nation, we're going through a time of suffering in so many ways, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We're being advised to be patient during a time of suffering and always bring our hopes and needs to God in prayer. Prayer is so important. Sometimes we might find prayer easy as we talk to God, and other times it might seem a struggle as we feel we're not being listened to. But we must believe that God is listening, and through our perseverance in prayer, we will get answers. Next, we have to contribute to the needs of the saints, where we see that there is a need and feel that God is guiding us to meet that need, whether it be financial or other resources that are required. We should give, and we should do it with a generous heart. Extend hospitality to strangers, to visitors, whether known or not known to you. Hospitality is an indispensable expression of love. Paul was urging Romans not just to practice hospitality, but to positively pursue it. Inquire after, look carefully for strangers, and to meet their needs. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. As Jesus said to his disciples, they should bless those who curse us, and even pray for them and do good to them. Sometimes this can lead to the turning around of the hardest of hearts. Certainly not an easy thing to do, but we should demonstrate goodwill to all people. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We should be known as people who come alongside their neighbour in times of both celebration and joy, but also at moments of sadness where sympathy is needed. This can be easy at a time of happiness, but a challenge to come near people at difficult times, not knowing what to say and how you will be received. Yet so often it's just your presence, your showing concern, that is all that's needed. Live in harmony with one another, having a common mind with our fellow Christians, so that we can work effectively together in God's work. That must be especially true as we work as a united benefice to serve the people of West Wickham and the surrounding area. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be claimed to be wiser than you are. We should show a bit of humility and not be proud or snobbish and not condescending. It's not a question of status, for we are all children of God. The final verses are about our relationship with our enemies. We've already had do not curse. We then have the other strong negatives. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but live as peaceably with all. Never avenge yourself, but leave room for the wrath of God. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It's all too easy to want to curse someone who wrongs you or even persecutes you. And it is natural to want to retaliate in the heat of the moment and even wanting to do something evil to someone in return for an evil. Or we may want to gain revenge in some way. But we are told to leave that to God, who sees all and knows all. And although it seems strange and it's difficult, where there has been evil, a good act can change a situation and may sometimes change people's ways. What all these pieces of advice have been doing is showing us how we can help in bringing God's love into our world. As Hazel said last week, if we really are part of the church, built on the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, we do need to free ourselves from the ways of this world and to allow our identity in Christ to drive our behaviours in our own lives and in our community. Amen.